asked me, and honestly, I had nothing on my mind, which, and so he's given me a mixed feeling right now, because one, he said he wants to talk about the longest story in the Bible. And then he said his hip is hurting, so he shouldn't stand too long. So I'm really unsure. So I'm going to have to show some self-control, which interestingly is the topic on my mind. I'm just going to quickly, in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I remember hearing about meekness, and that we often misunderstand meekness because we think of it as weakness. And meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control. So you can't be meek if you are not strong. If you have no strength, then there is no meekness. And in the same way, temperance is moderation over your own impulses. It's strength over your own tendencies. And I've long been a believer that we all have things about us that are unique to us that we have to control. That is the thing that when life starts getting bad, that's going to be the thing that you're going to struggle with. And so if temperance, self-control, called out in Titus and Timothy as a core trait that we ought to look for in deacons and preachers, is temperance, self-control, ability to moderate themselves. In Proverbs 16 and 32, it says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." I think what this verse is telling us is not how, is not that just about how difficult it is, but also that that trait of being able to control yourself is a lot easier than pouring out the strength that it takes to fight a fight. To control yourself, to have the to control your own tendencies is a harder battle, is a more recurring battle than that you it would take for a mighty man to conquer a city in war. And so often, so Ty, wherever he went, we have to get his hair done every 6 weeks. And what it requires is for them to put a clip on the end of each one of those braids and for them to shove that clip through the hair underneath and pull it up again. And do that over and over again until it's all tied really nicely at the bottom. And I'm going to tell you, based on his emotions, it hurts like crazy. All indications, it hurts like crazy. And Ange takes him over there and watches him go through this. And he sometimes doesn't have control. And we just expect him to, like, control his mouth, sit still, keep his hands off his head, leave the lady alone who's trying to do the thing. But that self-control is something that isn't just innate, but it requires long-suffering practice, and we have to be more patient with him. We ought to be more patient with ourselves to strive toward this. So Jesus called us out, gave us the example in Matthew. And this is really my text. All the rest is just leading to the text. I hope leading to the text. And so Matthew 4:11. Well, we'll start 4:1. So then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Biggest understatement, you know, you can say to me, he fasted, and I assume fasting is tied together with prayer. So fasting and prayer for 40 days. And then he was hungry. Right? That's an understatement, I'm sure. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Hits him right in the spot. I know the verse before is intended on purpose to tell us that Jesus was a man and he was hungry. And what does Satan go after first? The very thing that we've already just learned that he needs. He's hungry. And so Satan immediately comes after that weak point. Physically, the weak point for him. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So, why? Could Jesus have made the stones bread? Absolutely. Would there have been any sin in him making the stones bread immediately before Satan asked him to? I don't think so. He had command of the bread. He can make bread. But here, Satan calls out, "If you be the Son of God." So the temptation here is to prove yourself. He's using this bread, which Jesus needs for food, but he's demanding Jesus to prove himself. And that means Jesus has to show self-control. And in that self-control, he has to then step away and say, "No, I'm not going to take this bait and prove myself to Satan. I don't have to do that." And he doesn't. The next, then the devil taketh him up unto the holy city and sitteth him upon a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone." So again, lifts him up on top of something and says, "Prove yourself." Because God says, the Bible, the scripture, the Torah says that if you jump off, the angels catch you. You're not going to break a bone. You're not even going to dash your toe. Prove it. And Jesus, remember, Jesus is God. He can do all these things. He is not being asked to do something he can't do. But he is being asked, being challenged to prove it. And he has nothing to prove. To the devil, and honestly to us. Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." In other words, throwing himself off would be asking God, asking the angels to rescue him needlessly. "You put myself in this bad situation so that you would save me." I'm guilty of that, right? Put myself into a bad situation and say, "Oh, please God, you know, keep me from hurting myself, right? I'm driving 90 miles an hour through the, you know, whatever, and keep me from her getting hurt. Well, I put myself in that situation. I'm tempting God in many ways to protect me from myself. And we ought to be careful that he's showing us what temperance looks like. It isn't just control. It is making sure that you are not demanding of God those protections that you need not have. He isn't obligated. And again, the devil taketh him up on an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So the temptation here is power. All you got to do is bow yourself down to another, and I'll give you power. It's funny, Jesus has all the power, right? So there's kind of, to me, there's kind of two things here. He has all the power, and he could then prove it. Again, subtly being asked to prove himself in a different way. And on top of that, to make a claim that honestly all Satan had control over was the world. Jesus had control over the eternity. So this power would have been very limited to his human form and his human scope. And Jesus had to know in this moment. Remember, he's been starving for 40 days. He is right after this, the devil leaves and the angels come and help him. So they, and I assume they feed him and they take care of him and take care of his needs. So he is needy in that moment. And even in the weakness of his flesh, he shows self-control against the weakness of his flesh. So that, to me, that struggle, I struggle here a ton. My struggle is inconsistency. My mom used to joke with me that the one thing we're consistent on is we can't do the same thing twice. I find it hard to do the same thing twice. The good things, bad things I do, I surprise myself. And I'm in a spot and I go, wait a minute, you know, I've wandered down this path so far. How can I even avoid the sin at the end? And I have to show self-control. And I have to say, I'm willing to cast the devil aside in the moment, not seek the moment and the impulse of the day. And that is hard. It's harder than conquering the mighty city. And so I could go into Paul, and I won't. I'm going to assume that his Joseph verse is appropriate, and he needs the time. But Paul calls us to run a race with intention. That the runner looks for mastery, which means that every day they're seeking to do a little better than they did before. To get stronger, which means temperance, control, challenging us to do the right thing, the good thing today, tomorrow, the day after. And as hard as it is for me to do the same thing twice, and I mean that as simple as I intentionally get on the train on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and I intentionally know that I'm supposed to read my Bible on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and there'll always be a reason not to, and I have to force myself to not look at anything else until I've started. Because once I start, right? But not starting is the easy part. So I challenge everyone, look in your lives for those places that God is calling us to show self-control. Whether it be, and for one person it may be anger, for me it's consistency, for other people it may be in sexual sins, and others it may be just being lazy and gluttonous and all the other things that are so easy to do. Understand that this isn't something that's supposed to be easy. God doesn't claim that self-control is easy. But he does call us to have it, to grow it, to nurture it in ourselves and in others. And as mad as I want to be at Ty when he can't handle himself, he too is still trying to learn self-control. We all are. Thank you.